Something wonderful, 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 oh, is the love of Jesus. Something wonderful, wonderful, his love to me. Glory unto God forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Continue to pray for Tom also, and for my wife, and for me. Bless the Lord forever. Where were we? Verse 4 of chapter how much? 81. All right. A statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob, ordained in Joseph for a testimony. Because in Joseph is the type of Christ, and in Christ is where the testimony is. Those who like Joseph believe God, trust God, come into Christ. There are many, many more of the seed of Joseph in Christ than of any of the others in the book. I believe that. I could tell you some other things I believe, but it might confuse you. This he ordained in Joseph, God did, for a testimony when he, God, went out through the land of Egypt, according to Exodus 12:23, and to redeem his people and bring them back like he promised Jacob, like he promised Abraham. I'll bring them back. They be evil entreated among these people, and especially down in Egypt for 400 years, but in the fourth generation I'll bring them out. And he told Jacob, don't be afraid to go down into Egypt. I'll bring you back. But Jacob himself never came back. But Jacob will come back. He probably already knows all about this. He's already back. We just don't know it. Because you'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when you pass out of this body, you're still alive. You're not dead. You're never separated from God. You have passed from death unto life when you come into the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him your abiding place. Because I live, you shall live also. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Never be separated from God. Because the real death is separation from God. The separation from the body is only a natural thing, and it's just it's unimportant in some sense, a great importance to us in the flesh. But the soul separated from the body, you're dead. The soul is said to be dead, and the body is said to be dead. But the spirit lives. But the sinner is separated from God. But we have been made one with God. We're no longer separated from God. You have passed from death unto life. And in the that's why there's two resurrections back there. On the second, if you have part in that, blessed is he that has part in the first resurrection. On him the second death hath no power, because you have eternal life. But the second death, if there were no other hell, no other condition of hell, except for the fact that the wicked are separated from God and from His glory and from His presence, that is hell enough, and death indeed. Death is separation from God, because God is life. Anything that is not in God, is separate from God, is outer darkness and is death. God is light, God is life. Where God is, there is life and light. But where away from God, there is darkness and death. Therefore, they're forever separated from God. And when he comes again with flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who obey not God and who love not the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, that's perdition, from the glory of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power. That's everlasting destruction. Just to be separated from His presence and from the glory of His power is to put you into outer darkness and into death forever. Are you following me? That's what death is. Death simply means a separation. Separation. Spoken of the body, separation of the body, soul from the spirit. And when man leaves, the child died. I died one time. Saw the dead body right where I left it. But when the child, Elisha prayed and said, Elijah also did the same thing, let this child's soul come unto him again, and his soul returned unto him, and he lived. When I returned to the body, I lived, and I was healed from that very moment. Whereas before that, I couldn't eat or drink or even take a little tea and keep it down. Dying, 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 until finally I just went out of the body and I was over here and the body was over there. They picked it up, laid it on the davenport, a couple of women there, and they said, we thought you had died. That's right. That's right. As long as you're separate from the body, you're dead. Therefore, that when the resurrection takes place, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You enter into that body from heaven. He's not going to put you back in this same old carnal thing here, crippled all up. He's going to give you a good one. Better house. Then you are alive. You're raised from the dead. Just by the fact of causing your soul to return to a livable body. Now there's life.
Is that our mention?
God made Adam after the dust of the earth, out of the elements of the earth. But he was deader than a doornail until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. And when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. All right, we're in Psalms 81. Believe it or not. God went out over the land of Egypt to redeem his people and bring them out a great army. All their armies, many people. Where I heard a language that I understood not. Strange saying. He's talking in the second person, now he's talking in the first person. He's telling them the prophetic, happened. That's already in the past. That's past history that God went down there. There's another time when the Lord Jesus himself is going to go down into Egypt. Where he actually hears strange language that he understood not. And then God brings his son out of Egypt, just like he brought them out of Egypt. And through them he was going to have a great people, and did. Christ came of that same redeemed people out of Egypt. But now Christ himself goes down into Egypt, just like Jacob did, and just like all Israel did. And he hears a strange language that he understood not, but he comes back that it might be fulfilled, which was written in the prophets, I have called my son out of Egypt. Now we're speaking to Jesus. You see, and that's possibly why this change here, it's taking it from the type to the real thing. And now, it's through him that all Israel is really brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, into the promised land, not just that land, but into the promised land. For he's the complete fulfillment of the finished work, bringing us into that new heaven and the new earth and into that kingdom of God where God's people are his people. And he's chosen them out of all the earth. So it brings you into Christ there. In this thing, I removed his shoulder from the burden. That's a strange thing. You would have thought he would have removed the burden from his shoulder, wouldn't you? God's not interested in the burden. He's interested in the people. He's interested in removing his people and getting his people out from under those things. He's interested in the people, not the burden. Therefore, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your burdens upon me. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? You try to carry a burden just by hand. Oh, it can be a troublesome thing and awfully hard to carry, and you can't carry so much. You can't really get a hold of the thing, but you get a yoke that fits you and that's padded, and your load can be balanced and fastened so you don't have to hang on to it, so you can just apply all of your attention to the best plate there. And you get that load fixed on you, my, you'd be surprised how much you can carry. Good pack sack with a good headband helps a lot too. Headband, shoulder pads, everything, and then a good soft fit to the back. Or a yoke, the old type of yoke where they used to have out here where you'd hang weights on both sides, like they still do down in Indochina, China and all those places still do that. Carry Chinese and all of that. Carry many great, tremendous burdens by just having a yoke that fits you and something that will hold the thing in place. That's what Jesus means to do. Jesus has learned how to carry heavy burdens easily. And he says, come unto me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But learn of me. You take the yoke, get your yoke just like mine, see? Get absolute faith in God and in His Word. Get the knowledge of His Word so that you can fasten these things down properly, so they won't be falling apart or falling off or slipping off or overbalanced. Don't get overbalanced, see? When you get God's Word and you get the faith in God's Word and you get an absolute trust in God and the knowledge of Him to know that He's your Father and you're His Son, you can carry a load that you never realized you could carry. That's right. If you pray one for another and help one another and bear one another's burdens, it makes it better also. You see, that's part of it. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, cast your burdens upon me. But take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus helped carry others' burdens. And He taught us to do likewise. Let's go ahead. I removed His shoulder from the burden. It's a peculiar way of saying that, but He's interested in the people, not the burden. He's moving His people. He's not moving the burden. He won't always move the burden, but He'll move you. He won't always take away from you all those things that trouble you out here in the world and the things that the devil are doing. He may not take that all away, but He'll give you a yoke that you can bear it. And not only that, but He will remove you out from under their... He'll either take them away or take you away. He'll get you separated from this thing one way or another. I've seen Him do it both ways. I've seen Him take me away and I've seen Him take them away. People that were troubling you, just no end. Just all of a sudden, something very unexpected, they move right out and are gone. They're not there anymore. Your troubles are over. Or He just picks me up out of a place and takes me out of that trouble and transfers me right over from where I was over to Tacoma, Washington. And my burdens are gone. Now the trouble is gone. Everything's fixed up. See? But He's interested in the people rather than the burden. He wants to move you. He wants you to learn of Him and learn how to bear a burden properly and to bear one another's burden as you need to, in the manner in which and in the measure in which you're supposed to. But they're to bear their own burden too. I removed His shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. In the first sense, of course, it means that Israel back there, and especially Joseph and his whole family, which became the tribes of Israel, He took them out of slavery. He was sold as a slave, but God made him the ruler. These other people were in bondage. They were carrying those heavy loads and those baskets and gathering straw and carrying clay and sand and working in the brick kiln and making brick. But God took them out from under all of that. They were slaves and servants to the Egyptians. They washed their pots and their kettles and cleaned their houses and did their cooking and all that sort of thing. I removed their hands from the pots. His shoulder from the burden, His hand were delivered from the pots. Some of them say clay, but the word is not clay, even though they did work in brick kiln and so on, mainly making brick. But the word is pots. It just isn't the word clay, it's pots. From that Cinderella kitchen slavery under the Egyptians, for the women in particular, and for the men also in other measures, and the baskets or the burdens that they bore in the slaving for them as slaves. Thou callest in trouble. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. God used His thunderbolts to deliver His people. But He used all His other measures of all His powers in many ways to deliver His people out from under that bondage and bring them out. When they prayed, when Moses lifted up his rod, God thundered. His lightning, His thunder, His hail, His plagues. I approved thee at the waters of Meribah. I brought you water out of solid rock where there was no water in the wilderness. I provided for you, the Lord our provider. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. You know the scriptures in there. Deuteronomy 32:12, Isaiah 43:12, and many other places. No strange God in thee. I am the Lord. And if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Exodus 20:2 also. It's a law. It's a law. And it became a testimony in Joseph. In the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where we came to know Him. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And His name is Jesus, Jehovah the Savior, Yahweh the Savior. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has become the Savior of the world. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Yeah. How many have tried that? Did it work? Sure. John 16:24 also with Pentecost. I forgot what that is right there. Let's look at it. John 16:24. I'm trying to think what it was. Can't think right now what that does refer to. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's just another one of those places, sir. And the other one, Psalm 23, comes to me right now also. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. See, there's another. Proverbs 81:10. No, I'm sorry. That's not Proverbs, that's Psalms. That's where we are now. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. You remember Romans 1:24. He gave them up to their own ways. That's way from the beginning, and his own people likewise then also. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. I remember in... I see it down below here, so I was wondering why I didn't put it in here. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Matthew 23:37. Jesus. Oh, Israel, Jerusalem. How often I would have, but you wouldn't. Ezekiel 1:7. Walked in my ways. Ezekiel 1:7 said they have straight feet. 17 says they go straight forward. They turn neither to the right nor to the left, but go straight forward. Verse 20 also. Ezekiel 1:7, 17, and 20. And also Ezekiel 10:11. The cherubim. The living creatures in the first one, the cherubim in the last one, and I knew that these living creatures were the cherubim. But they go straight forward. They have straight feet. They turn neither to the right nor to the left. I saw another one just like that yesterday, I believe, in Galatians or someplace where I was looking. I'll probably run into it someplace, just about like that. Isaiah 48:18 also, with that 13th verse. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. You see, the history would have been different. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. They wouldn't have been cast off. They wouldn't have had to go through all this, but they did. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee if you had walked in my ways. Psalm 19:10, 119, 103, and Deuteronomy 32:13. That's the one that came to me a minute ago, and I wondered where it was, why it wasn't here. Deuteronomy 32:13. Psalm 82, another psalm of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Now that word mighty there is sons of Elohim, the mighty, the sons of God, as it tells you in many other places, sometimes called angels, but rarely, because it's not supposed to be. It's messengers. As messengers, yes, but not as angels of heaven. And with that verse, take 89:6, 1 Peter 4:17, and Psalm 78:25, and verse 6 right here. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, dwelleth in the midst of his people, always has, his congregation. That's his sons of God. He judgeth among the gods, and those gods there are Elohim. Elohim, as it is in verse 6. I have said you are Elohim, gods.
It's not
Pardon?
Pardon? It's not El, it's Elohim.
Elohim. Elohim, that's right. Elohim. That's why it's plural, because it's the whole congregation of the redeemed saints, sons of God, who will be one of these days predestinated to be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
What sense does it mean it that way there? What sense does it mean that
we'll
be God?
It means that you will not be man, you won't be seed, son of Adam, you won't be of the earth, earthy, you will be the sons of the living God. You will be a spirit being. You'll be changed. You'll be clothed upon with your house from heaven. You'll be with him in glory. You'll be glorified with him. You will be his glory. You're his glory now in the measure in which we glorify him.
Angel is a spirit being,
but all spirit beings are not angels. And the word Elohim is not for angels, but it is for his sons. Jesus was talking to the Jews when he said in John 10:34-35, put it down. John 10:34-35, Jesus talking to the Jews, he said, it's written in the scriptures, I have said ye are gods. And the scripture cannot be broken. Now, if he said to those to whom the word came that you're gods, then do you say I blaspheme because I say I'm a son of God? One of the mighty? See? Because he wasn't even saying God. He was just saying he was one of the sons. But the scripture says, I have said ye are gods. Predestined to be. Not that they were. We're going to be. We're going to be sons of God. We're going to be born of God. We're going to be his offspring. The offspring of gods are gods. The offspring of men are men. The offspring of horses are horses. And the offspring of pigs are pigs. Offspring of sheep are sheep. Every one after his own seed. But now his seed is in us. We're born of God. And we, even now are we the sons of God. See? By the measure of faith that's already in us. Even while we're yet in our mortal body. But the time is coming we won't be in our mortal body. We'll be changed. We'll put on immortality. We will be caught up with him in the clouds and be caught away into his glory. We will be in the midst of the stones of fire, and which is his glory, and we'll not be sons of men. Adam, which is of the earth, earthy. We're sons of the Most High. Therefore, it says here, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the sons of God. He judgeth among the gods, the Elohim, the sons of God. How long will you judge unjustly? Who did he see, you see? How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy, because that's pure religion, according to James. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, he's talking about the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand in his own people. They walk out on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Our own science, geology and so on, tells you that this world is at an angle. It's offside. It's 23 degrees off of true north, and it's wobbly. There is evidence that this whole land at one time was covered with good vegetation all over. They can find it in the bottom of the icebergs in the north. They can find it down in the Sahara Desert. Find it over here in Ginkgo National Forest over on the Columbia, where you can't see a tree for miles. Petrified trees make beautiful pieces of jewelry. But the world is out of course. God's original plan was perfect, like a perfect circle. There are 360 degrees in a circle. There were 360 days in a year. And God still reckons by his 360 days, although we're out of course. We're so out of course now that every 4 years we have to put in an extra year. And they used to do it differently, and so everything was kind of messed up. Sure he does. He did back there in the flood. He did in all those time back there. There was 12 months to a year, 30 days to a month, and 7 days to a week, and the 24 hours to the day. Or 12 in the day and 12 in the night. Half and half where the... But now with the situation where it is, we've got two ends of the earth all frozen and the rest of the world offside this way, and it's wobbly. Foundation of the world is out of course. But in the book of Revelation, when Jesus is figuring out the times, times and a half a time, how long is it? 3.5 years. All right, how long is that 3.5 years? 1260 days. That's 12 months, 30 days to a month. That's God's time. God doesn't change his time because men have changed the calendar or because the world has wobbled. You see, God's still operating on his own time. That's the reason we don't know where the deal is. Because God's operating on his own time. The Antichrist is to have power for a time, times and a half a time. The church is going to be given into his hand for 1260 days, or 42 months. That's exactly, that's not 365 and one fourth days times 3.5. You see, it isn't that. It's God's time. God's time. We've got a lot of evidence that the world is out of course, and it is out of course because they're following the devil instead of following the Lord too. Everything is out of course. It's not the way God intended it. It's not the way God put it here when he said God created and behold it was very good. It's not that way anymore. The land which was the whole earth almost, we would say, was the Garden of Eden in that time. But now there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change. You know, God may just straighten this old planet up, and again, you'll begin to see every place begin to have an even temperature and sunshine, where everything will be just wonderful.
It's precessing back towards that right now.
Pardon?
It is precessing back towards
It's very possible that at the time of the flood, that great, tremendous cataclysm that took place that we find evidence of all over the world, we find those mastodons, those people, those trees and everything. We can find seaweed in the top of those great oldest of the pyramids. We can find dinosaurs with vegetation in the mouth in the icebergs in the north. I myself have picked up a piece of antique fern of which we don't have anymore. I mean, we don't have any in existence anymore. All they've got is fossils. I picked up a beautiful piece of it down here near Chehalis, off there on Lucas Creek. A beautiful piece there of pinkish red color. Beautiful. Of antique tropical fern. Beautiful jewelry. Right down there by Centralia. See? We find over here, they call this the Ginkgo National Forest because they find the ginkgo tree petrified over there, and the only place else in the world you'll ever find a piece of ginkgo that's at least alive at all, or any, I don't know whether it's still alive over there, maybe it is, I can't remember now. I guess it is. In China. China, but the only place you'll find it. But we got some of it over here on the Columbia River. All right, I got to get out of that. See, I'm also a rock hound. I got to watch myself. The whole world is out of the foundation of the earth, or out of course, but God's going to put it back upright. He'll restore it. I have said you are gods, and the scripture can't be changed. Those of you who just don't like the idea of being gods, you better get over it, because that's just exactly what you're going to be. You won't be man anymore. Man's of the earth, earthy. You're not going to be of the earth, earthy. Man of an earth, earthy, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. We are longing to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. We have if the building of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have another eternal in the heavens. Well, that can't be like this one. This is Adam here. But that second Adam is the Lord from heaven, and we are his seed now. And we are going to be changed. We are going to be made like unto his glorious body. Is that what the Bible says? Anybody ever read that? Everybody read that? We're being changed now. We're being changed now, even while we're still in the flesh. But our minds are being changed. We're having the mind of Christ. We have a different spirit. And not only that, your body is actually being changed. And therefore, he's delivering you from all of this uncleanness. But one of these days we'll be clothed upon with a spiritual body, come up out of that seed. It's eternal in the heaven. God has this all reserved for us. See, but that'll be eternal in the heaven. But he brings those back. Them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why didn't Jesus bring them with him? When you know that Jesus is God, you won't have any problems. Them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How'd they get up there? And they will receive their bodies also out of that seed. That's the same personality. That's the same people. That's the same you. That's the individual that's different than anybody else in heaven or on earth. One of God's creations, a son or a daughter of God. And then we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. And you couldn't do it in Adam's body. You have to be different. But God has said, I have said you are gods. We are his offspring. But we've run into a snag. We've been crossed up with the devil. God's going to cleanse the seed, cleanse the blood. And eventually we're going to be spirit. Sons of God. Better believe it, because that's the way it's going to be. Doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. That'll be the way it'll be anyway. One of these days you know it. But I have said, I have purpose, it was my purpose and plan that you should be sons of God and that you should be gods. But you shall die like Adam. That word's Adam. That word men there is Adam. Adam in the plural. Look it up. You find that word's Adam. And fall like one of the princes of the earth. Like the king of Tyre. Prince of Tyre. Prince of Sidon. Or Jerusalem or Babylon. See? Assyria. Edom. You'll fall like one of the princes of the earth. Because you have not followed the way of the Lord. But I have purposed that you should be sons of God. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. You see, that's the gospel. That's the truth of the matter from the beginning to the end. That's God's purpose. Told you the God purpose that his people should be sons of God that worship him, and God should rule over all his people as God their father. We all have one God and one father, and we're all his children. But it's not so now. You're not my people. You're children of the devil. You'll perish except you turn and be born again and be born of God. Then you become sons of God, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How many want that? Is that all right with you? Or would you rather have it the other way? Would you rather always be sons of Adam? Well, you can take your choice, I guess. Psalm 83. As for me and my house, Joshua said, and I'm saying it for myself too, we will follow the Lord. Tom, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wondered, Russ, in verse 7 there, where it says, but indeed, like Adam would like the earth born, he shall die. Why does he say like the earth born, or like Adam, if they are Adam? In other words, in any case, really, there's something.
Because that's what you are. That's all you are. It's all you ever will be, the way you're going. That's what he says to Israel, see? The way you're going, you're just sons of Adam, you'll die. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. But that's not of the wicked. That's only the natural man. That's only for the natural man. We will, if we die, we'll return to the dust, but our spirit returns to God who gave it, and furthermore, we'll be with him. Paul says, to die, to depart, and be with the Lord is far better. So he indicates that he has a full understanding that when you die, you do go to be with those of the Lord. Even though they don't have their immortal bodies yet, although they don't have their spiritual bodies in the same operation as they will have in their fullness, because it's not for some few have had a glory with him ahead of time. For instance, Moses and Elias on the Mount of Transfiguration. But it's very few of them. The rest of them, they're among those who are under the altar saying, how long, O Lord? But a few of them seem to have a very peculiar, special place with God even now of activity. And that's why I feel that the seraphim represents those people who, like that, have a place with God now in operation. Just how much of anything else that the others have, we can't know. It's on the other side, out of our sphere. We can't say. There's indication, however, that there is activity among some of those who have waited so long but were faithful. They come in early but not in the fullness without us. For we which are alive and remain shall not precede, go ahead, or prevent, go ahead of those that are asleep. But the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. See, there's where they're translated. But now, Elijah's already gone up. Enoch already went up. types and figures of this same thing that we're talking about. Prefiguring it. That was just an example of the prefiguring of these things that are going to take place for the whole group. All right, does that answer your question?
Well, I was thinking that the language that he uses there was reminding me of the language he used with Lucifer, for example, where he said that you would die as a man. You would die.
All right, they're sons of Lucifer. Why shouldn't they be the same? That's right. They're cast into the same lake of fire that he's in, don't they? Isn't he? You see, he's cast in the same lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet and all are cast into the lake of fire. And then the others, whose names are not written in the Lamb Book of Life, cast in the same lake of fire. And the devil himself is cast in that same lake of fire. See? They're all there together. All sons of Satan. Sons of perdition. Sons of utter destruction. But God's people... Nope, they go up like Elijah. They go up like Enoch. They're missing like Daniel at the fiery furnace. They just aren't there. And the rest of them, they come out of the fiery furnace without any smoke on them, just like they did down in Babylon. Those who give their life during the tribulation. You see, it's all figure, the same thing. All right, now we got to get back out of Daniel and the rest of them, get back into 83. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. Tumult. Oh, are we ever seeing it now? Remember Luke 19 and that other portion in Psalm 45. Tumult all over the world. Tumult all over the world. Lo, thine enemies make a tumult. I didn't have any of those down here, but they just came to me, 1, 2, 3, just like that, and I gave them to you. Lo, thine enemies make a tumult. Let's see what they do have here on that. See, Psalm 2:1, that isn't it. Acts 4:25, and that isn't it. So you can take those and see what they say. They that hate thee have lifted up the head, and they have hated him with a perpetual hatred, without cause. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Thus, hidden ones means virgins. And they are the living creatures and the cherubim. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That, of course, is in Second Psalm. The kings of the earth, they counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us put their remembrance out from us. For they have consulted together with one consent, their confederate against thee. You'll find that in Psalm 2:8. The tabernacles of Edom, but don't forget, you'll also find back there that God shall have them in derision. God shall laugh at them. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarines, see, there's Hagar again, for those of you who are in the Psalms right now. Gebel and Ammon, sons of Lot, and Amalek, the old enemy, the sinners, the Gogites, the Agagites, the Philistines, children of Ham, with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyrian, Asher, Assur here is also Asher, and it means in both cases the Assyrians, also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, the Hebrew there in that verse says they've opened the children of Lot. Seems to say they have been an arm to the children of Lot. And they've been a bad arm. That's reason God took Lot out. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, and to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb. Judges 7:25. Like Zeeb, yea, all their princes, as Zeba and Zalmunna, Judges 8:12-21, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. That's what they almost did in Rome. After the apostles. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the tumbleweed. Notice those tumbleweeds, how they go? I've seen tumbleweeds so big, with great big stalks. One of them would almost cover this width of this whole room. And I used to take a great big hay rack with horses, and I'd drive out past it and turn it back to it, and then back the horses up, and they'd back into that thing and push it up until they lifted it. And then I'd get out of the hay wagon and take an axe and crawl back under it and cut the root of it off so the wind could carry it down to the neighbors. The farm that I was on was 1,000 acres, so it wasn't like your neighbor right next door. But we'd have to go out in the fences, the barbed wire fences at any track, wherever there was a fence, they'd just be loaded, piled high with tumbleweed. Just piled house high with tumbleweed. Well, that's what he's talking about here. Make them like a wheel. Roll them away, Lord. Just blow them away as a stubble before the wind. You see, in those countries, they had lots of dust storms and wind storms, sand storms, fierce storms. And we have some in this country, too. In fact, in this same place that I'm talking about, the tumbleweed, you could, in the summertime there, while I was plowing or harrowing or doing something else, you could just look around you and you'd see dust funnels, great big one here, several miles over here, another one over here, a quarter of a mile, another one over here, two of them, three of them right almost together over here, 4 or 5 miles away, and one coming right here close by, and pretty soon own hat about to go, see, because of the, even if it missed you a little ways, almost lifts you out of the seat. That's in eastern Washington, up on the Clarkston Heights, on the old Bill Jones ranch, where we used to drive in the horses that had never been ridden and ride them on Sunday just for the fun of it. I got thrown higher than a kite by one great big leggy horse that we'd been working. He was a good horse, a work horse, but he'd only been ridden once, and he was bucking every jump when he did that. And the owner of it, when he was younger, had ridden him once. I got onto him, and man, I thought it was, he hit the ground, I thought there was an earthquake. And I was so short-legged, I couldn't get down far enough to get any kind of a hold on him, and he was really throwing fire. And then we pulled that saddle off of him, put it on a little mule that had never been ridden, and I couldn't tell which end his tail was on, which end his head was on. I could see the top of the fence, though. But he was just like riding a kitten. He was about my size. And besides that, I had him shorten the stirrups a little because I lost my stirrup the first jump on the other one. Well, let's get back in the Psalm. I wrote a poem one time, and I still have it. Because I've said this much, I think I'll read it to you sometime. Once a cowboy. Oh, my God, make them like the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest. Make them afraid with thy storm. You know, I pray that way right now. I say, oh, God, there's so much thievery, there's so much burning of houses, there's so much deviltry, so much damage and being done just for the deviltry of it. I say, oh God, just frighten them away. Let them hear a sound of trouble. Let them see angels with swords. Let them see guns pointed down their nose. Frighten them away. And you know, they've been frightened away both times. They didn't even get in last Sunday night. But they broke the windows out and tore some of the nails out and battered the window all up. And they got in not too long ago and did seal some stuff. Stole my good leather gloves and stuff out of the car and some oil out of there. But they got frightened away. I had good stuff in there that was a lot better. Outboard motor and so on and other tools and all that. And they didn't take all that. So God must have done what I prayed about. He must have just called them to hear or see something. And they took off. Well, I just pray sometimes, God clobber. It's not because we're mean either. I'd rather save them, but you can't save the brutes. They were up there looking in my windows, two or three of the long, shaggy haired guys just standing there looking right into my living room window. I went out and they ran for their car and got in the car and I walked in front of it so they wouldn't drive on and took a chance. And then I talked to them. I invited them to come over here. Told them we could help them. We could do them good. And they drove on. I didn't report them or anything like that, but you'd be surprised. They just come through that place and all of that, and they want to see it, and they want to come inside, and just... We're living in perilous times, I'm telling you. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. I prayed for them a lot. Let them be confounded and troubled forever, if they're not going to turn. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahweh, Jesus, art the Most High over all the earth. And I pray for them like that. I try to talk to them. I try to get them. I tell them about the Lord. Tell them about what we're doing over here. What we've done for others that we're just like they are once upon a time. Not knowing what they were doing. Okay, we got that.